Do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline. Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello, everyone. This is Ray Zinn, and I'm here with my grandson, Mitchell Shaw. Another wonderful podcast with him. We had Mitchell on a few months ago. I'm going to turn the time over to him. He's going to be our guest host tonight. And I'm here with my wife, Delana. Mitchell, let's get started.
All right. Thanks, Grandpa. I was just thinking about how when I was young, and you know, I live pretty close to you guys, that growing up, you were home a lot. You were home at night, and we had fun, and on the weekends, and you'd take me up in your plane, and we'd have a lot of fun, and made me think about how, now that I'm older, I see that that must have taken some effort or discipline to do that, because a lot of entrepreneurs out there, I think, are totally consumed with their work. So today I want to talk about the work-life balance. That's why we have Grandma here, too, so that she can talk about how that all works out and how to have a happy family, you know, while you're doing all of this, you know, important startup work. So my first question for you is, was that something conscientious for you, Grandpa? Does work-life balance something you conscientiously work on, or is it just, or should you, you know, like, is there some rigor around that, or how does that work?
Okay, Mitchell, what I did is, like a lot of things, I make the decision in advance. So when I started my company, my Krell, I made the decision that I was not going to work after 8 o'clock in the evenings.
Okay.
And I was not going to work on the weekends. So I made that decision up front. That it's not something that I decided to do after the fact. It was actually a decision I made early. And so if you make decisions early, if you set a guidelines early, and then you don't have to worry about that decision when you have to make it. You see what I'm saying? What I did is I made that policy as a young entrepreneur. I was 39, and I've always lived by that. And so I didn't want to deviate from it, because I think it's a good policy to have a balance between your work and your family.
Yeah, so let's talk about the benefits of balance, I guess, for a little bit. You're a very hard worker, but can you... I mean, what role does balance have then in work? So, I mean, is there too much work? You know, can you get too focused on just work?
Sure. Just like anything else, you can overdo anything. And the most successful people do balance their life. I get up at 5:30 and I exercise, and then I get ready for work.
Mm-hmm.
And getting ready for work means I identify what I've got to do for the day. And that goes to my book that I wrote, Tough Things First, which you can buy on Amazon. I talk about living a disciplined life. And it really has helped me. I ran a very successful company for 37 years. And it all came from having a disciplined structure to my life, which includes balance.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So my next question is... this maybe goes for Grandma and Grandpa both. How do you know if you're out of balance? What kind of signs can you see if maybe you're too wrapped up in work? What kind of repercussions does that have kind of on your life?
Good question. So my family is the most important thing I have. The reason I work is to provide for my family. And so I keep that in mind, that work is an ends to a means,
mm-hmm.
or means to an end, I guess you
right.
should say. So my wife and I have been married for 55 years, but when I started the company, we'd only been married for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to protect that relationship, and so I kept that in mind. That was a focus. In other words, I want to have a good home life. What do they say? Happy wife, happy life. And so I wanted to have a good, happy home. And I focused on that. That was a criteria that I used to set the balance that I have. So you can work too much. And when you know you're working too much is when you start seeing the relationship and your family deteriorate. First, it's going to start with your wife. And then it's going to go to your children.
Right.
So that's what we did.
Okay. Grandma, what advice would you give to couples on how to communicate and plan for a good work-life balance?
I think this starts right when you first get married. As you're planning to get married, you need to discuss these things ahead of time so that you do have a clear vision of the kind of relationship that you need to have. And we just made each other a priority. And so as we went through our years of marriage, this was a focus of ours. And you know, sometimes I think the children probably would have liked their father to maybe have worked someplace else for a Saturday, because he would pull out the chainsaw and everybody would run for the hills when that happened.
I've heard about that from my mom.
Yeah, and they, but we really enjoyed, working on Saturdays. We were together as a family.
At least for 4 hours.
Yeah, whether it was working in the yard or washing the car, we would do that. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, the kids would have their own activities. You know, we got into their soccer time and things of that nature. So we had to keep a balance. But the children understood that our family took priority over anything else. And so mm-hmm. when we got involved with their sports activity, Sunday was out of the question. There was no sports activities on Sunday. That was the family time. And they could go and do these other things on a Saturday or during the week after school, but on Sunday it was out of the question. That was strictly mm-hmm. family time.
This is good stuff. I think a lot to think about. I'm going to throw kind of a modern wrinkle into some of this stuff. So I have my work email hooked up to my phone. And so I think some people might say, well, hey, it's not so easy to go home. Even if you're physically home, you're still connected to work. What advice would you give millennials like me who have access to email and people know my cell phone number? What advice would you give to people like me on work-life balance and dealing with that kind of unique challenge?
Okay, well, the advantage I had is I never grew up in that email era. So cell phone didn't really come into play until 1995, 1996. So I never had that habit that now the younger generation has. So even today, I don't have my phone with me. My phone is where I park it for the evening. And I only check it when I'm either getting ready to go to bed or in the morning when I get up. But I don't check it during the evening. So my phone is connected, in a sense of the word, that I'm got Wi-Fi and I'm connected, but I'm not looking at it. I mean, I don't have to look at it. It's not required that I look at it.
Right.
So unless I'm expecting something important that I have to review before the next day, then of course I make an exception. I'll go right. and pick up that email, but I won't necessarily read all the emails. I'll just read that one specific one.
Yeah, that is I think that's an interesting and unique challenge that my generation definitely faces. Well, those are my questions for tonight. Thanks, Grandma and Grandpa, for answering my questions today. I have to say, this is something that I think you, from my perspective, excelled at quite a bit. And were always there to be a good Grandma and Grandpa to me. So that's why I had so many questions and why I wanted to talk about that today, because I think you're a superstar in that regard.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you know, you being a host tonight, a guest host for us.
Yeah.
And Grandma, do you have any last comments you want to make?
Well, I think that, again, you're talking about the millennials with the cell phones and things
yeah.
like that. And because we didn't grow up with it, it doesn't mean that it isn't a problem for your generation, because you're used to doing that even through college and, you know, your dating process and everything else like that. There is always that communication you wanted to have. And I can see it with your younger brothers and sisters on what's happening, and the rest of our grandchildren. And so I think that you probably have to, it's a very conscious thing you have to do. It's not something that will come automatically, because for us, because we didn't grow up with that concentration on the cell phone,
mm-hmm.
then it's not as hard for us to be able to do that. But it's something you really, I think all millennials are just really going to have to put a lot of concentration on making, breaking that habit and setting aside and not letting it become a priority.
In fact, your older sister, no, your younger sister, sorry, mm-hmm. you're the oldest. Your younger sister, Melissa, I've never seen her without the cell phone in her hand. And your mom the same way. They carry it around.
Right.
And I just don't do that. I don't want to be tied to my phone.
Yeah.
And so I guess grandma's advice is that, you know, shut it off, just like you do work. When you leave the office, shut it off.
Yeah.
Focus on your family. Well, thanks, Mitchell. We really appreciate you being here tonight and doing this with us. And with that, we'll end our podcast.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.